Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we are looking for the Wednesday of the fifth week in Ordinary Time, and I love the opening prayer. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care. That relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. That's what we want. We want God's protection. We want God's care for us. And that's the opening prayer for today. And the first reading is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. The queen of Sheba, having heard of Solomon's fame, came to test him with subtle questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a very numerous retinue and with camels bearing spices, a large amount of gold and precious stones. She came to Solomon and questioned him on every subject in which she was interested. Can you imagine? The queen comes and asks the king every possible question she's ever had. And King Solomon explained everything that she asked about. And there remained nothing hidden from him that he could not explain to her. So when the Queen of Sheba witnessed Solomon's great wisdom, the palace he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his ministers, the attendance and garb of his waiters, his banquet service, and the burnt offerings he offered in the temple of the Lord, she was breathless. "The report I heard in my country about your deeds and your wisdom is true," she told the king, "though I did not believe the report until I came and saw with my own eyes. I have discovered that they were not telling me the half. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report I've heard. Blessed are your men. Blessed these servants of yours who stand before you always and listen to your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, whom it has pleased to place you on the throne of Israel. In his enduring love for Israel, the Lord has made you king to carry out judgment and justice." And then she gave the king 120 gold talents, a very large quantity of spices and precious stones. And never again did anyone bring such an abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She was trying in an earthly way to repay him for the wisdom that he had of God's wisdom. And Psalm 37 tells us the mouth of the just murmurs wisdom. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means that we try to follow God's law in every way that we possibly can. And if we fail, we ask his forgiveness. If we need, we go to confession. But you are a part of the just if you're living that way. The mouth of the just murmurs wisdom. Commit to the Lord your way. Trust in him and he will act. He will make justice dawn for you like the light. Bright as the noonday shall be your vindication. The mouth of the just man or woman tells of wisdom, and his tongue utters what is right. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not falter. Do our steps falter? Yes, sometimes they do. Sometimes we disobey one of the commandments. God will forgive you, but we need to repent. We need to come before the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. Go to confession if that's needed and be restored. Be restored. Each of us need to be. The salvation of the just is from the Lord. He is their refuge in time of distress. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And taking refuge in God means obeying his commandments, listening to his word, seeking to conform your life more and more to his word. And the more we do that, even if we're in the process of doing that, the more does the Lord love us and draw close to us. Your word, O Lord, is truth. Consecrate us in the truth. I want to live in the truth. I want to speak the truth. I want to act in the truth. I want to bring glory to you, Lord. That should be our attitude. What you do at work matters. What you do driving matters. what you do in the stores, shops, wherever you are, at home, with your family, wherever you are, God notices it all, everything. There's no way we can hide from God, and we don't want to. He's your refuge. He's the one who forgives. He's the one who helps. Go to him. Don't be afraid ever to acknowledge your sin. God will forgive if you come to him. And the Gospel of Mark tells us today, chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. Jesus summoned the crowd and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile." It's how we think. It's how we exercise our emotional life in our lives. Do I really believe him? Brothers and sisters, every single one of you listening to this program today is infinitely precious to God. Infinitely precious. He loves you. He desires you to fall closer to him, draw much closer to him, because he wants to lead you in a way that honestly will bring you to salvation. And that's what we want. I want to see all of you in heaven. I want all of those who listen to Food for the Journey to be with us in heaven. I hope I will be in heaven. So let's pray for one another that we may draw closer to him. We read in the gospel today, Jesus summoned the crowd and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. I've said this before, but I'm repeating. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come from within are what defile." That's our emotions. When he got home, away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about that parable. And he said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and passes out into the latrine?" Thus he declared all foods clean. But what comes out of the man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts: unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. Brothers and sisters, what God wants for us is that we have a pure and an undefiled heart. That's what he wants of us. And we read from Father Jacques Philippe, who I met in France several times, and he is a marvelous, marvelous spiritual director. And this is what he says: "The struggle for purity of heart requires keeping one's heart free from everything that can harm it by causing it to lose its capacity for love. This is true especially of negative thoughts, judgments, bitterness, sadness, worry. Scripture points to a strong connection between the heart and thought and speaks often of the thoughts of the heart. Thought gives direction to the heart and determines action, which is why it is important. Jesus says there is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him, but the things which come out of a man are what defile him. It is not the things that come to us from outside that do us harm. It's our interior reaction, starting with our thoughts. It's unavoidable that we should react negatively to sufferings and deceptions and shocking events of all sorts, but it is imperative that we not give free rein to these thoughts, not dwell on them, but should displace them with positive thoughts of faith, hope, and love. This is an essential aspect of the spiritual struggle, because suffering easily becomes accusation, bitterness, judgment, pessimism, discouragement, worry. This not suffering itself is what darkens the soul and causes harm. Thus, in difficult times, we need to keep our hearts pure by tending to our thoughts. It is certainly not easy, but it is necessary. In particular, we should be vigilant in regard to judgmental thoughts about others and anxious thoughts. Here is a consideration that may make this struggle easier. The beatitude, "Happy are the pure of heart because they will see God," could be turned the other way around. "Happy are those who see God, for they will keep their hearts pure." The most powerful safeguard of a pure heart is the spirit of faith, by which we see God's hand in everything that comes to us. This is what the saints did and made them free. In a letter to her sister Agnes, Thérèse of Lisieux compares herself to a weak reed, but one that cannot break, since no matter what happens to it, it wants only to see the gentle hand of its Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I think so often we condemn ourselves rather than turning to the Lord. "Oh, that was terrible what I just did," and then we try to hide it, or we try to minimize it, or we try to excuse it, rather than just saying, "Lord, what I just did is wrong. I ask your forgiveness." And then go and turn to that person and be reconciled. God loves us, brothers and sisters. We all make mistakes. We're fallible. We're weak. I've gotten very angry a couple of times when I should not have been angry, but I was, because somehow it affected me more personally. And I had to go to the Lord. That's what I did first. I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, please forgive me. Help me. Take my anger. I don't want to continue to be angry. I have reason to be concerned, but I don't have to be spouting off like some kind of a ship. What I need to do is turn to him and say, 'Lord, help me.'" And he will. Right as you're going from the living room into the kitchen, right as you're going wherever you're going in the house, just ask him, "Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please help me. Lord, please take this." And you'll be amazed at the peace, if you really mean that prayer, the peace or the quiet that comes into your heart, because you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. He's your Savior. He doesn't just save us from life and death. He saves us in the circumstances of our lives, which one of them might not cause us to go to hell, but we might end up in purgatory longer than we would like. Go to him. Ask his forgiveness. Even if you think it's small, or even if you think it's too big, turn to the Lord. He will forgive. Ask his forgiveness. "Please, Lord, will you forgive me?" And he will do it. Brothers and sisters, I think there are so many people, even in my listening audience, I would think there are people who've harbored sin for years because they're ashamed of it. They feel condemned by it. I hear people say to me, "Oh, God would never forgive me for that." God will forgive. And if we brought anxiety to someone or hurt to someone, no matter if we say, "Oh, that doesn't matter, that's nothing," it might matter a lot to the other person. Ask their forgiveness. Take it to the Lord. Ask his forgiveness. And God will give it to you. He is a God. He is a Savior. He is God, our Savior, who loves us. Trust him. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.